Shooting your load.
There's probably a German word for it.
Ejaculation.
Oh, shoot your wad.
Shooting
yeah.
Shooting your wad.
Yeah.
You don't
yeah.
want to shoot your wad up top.
Right.
But you want to keep it low.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Welcome to Passions for Life, where your hosts, Natalie Z and Travis Schulte, a.k.a. Gwen II and OG Ethan, pull back the curtain on the underbelly of your favorite show that you always denied watching, Passions.
Yes.
Hi, guys.
Hey.
Hello.
Episode one.
Yeah.
I'm here with, like I said, our friend Travis Schulte and also Mr. Benjamin Hayes, who has recently watched his first episode of Passions. And I will pose the question, Ben, what is Passions?
I watched the episode twice, actually. That's how
I'm
dedicated
so, I'm so sorry.
I am.
Wow.
so sorry you did that. We didn't tell you to do that.
He yeah,
did
no,
that on
I
his
go
own, folks.
It seems like it's about some families.
Okay.
All right.
Some have wealth, some don't.
Ooh.
So the Marxist
topical.
Critique.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's about a town called Harmony, which... That's just naming your town Harmony.
Harmony.
Asking for trouble.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I expect there will be some trouble.
You think?
Yeah.
I think that's a good guess.
Yeah.
An educated guess.
There's some love stories in there.
Oh, so much
so
love.
Many love.
So many true love stories.
So many love.
There's and a pair of sisters who argue a lot.
Yes.
That kind of fades into the background, I think,
yeah.
eventually.
As it should.
You know, also, well, secrets, apparently. Mm. Destroy everything.
Secrets abound.
Let me ask you another question, mm-hmm. Ben Hayes. In terms of your experience with soap opera viewing, did you? You know, we all sort of grew up around the same in the same era, mm-hmm. and this is what the moms and the housewives did.
Yes.
And also, we did it during the summer. So, what is your experience, and how does it compare to what you just watched?
Well, I don't know if I was 12 or 13, but it was summertime, and in Texas, as you know, it gets really hot. So I was like, I'm gonna become a soap opera viewer because I have to be in the house all day.
Lofty goal.
And so I decided. I just picked one. I was like, Santa Barbara sounds cool.
You picked the wrong one, but go ahead. Yeah.
So I started watching Santa Barbara. I remember there was a character named Cruz. And
Cruz?
Yeah, Cruz. Yeah, Cruz. That's all I remember from that time. It didn't last very long for me. So that's my only experience with soaps.
I think a couple of those people worked on Passions too.
Well, I think Passions may have also
we farmed.
We farmed, but I think we also canceled Santa Barbara, didn't we?
Well,
No, we canceled that other thing. Anyway, we canceled something in order to take its slot.
Oh, I think it was Santa Barbara though. Or Santa Barbara was on the vine, dying on the vine kind of thing.
So, okay. So just a quick sort of overview for the uninitiated. Passions was a soap opera that ran from 1999 for 10 years. So whatever math that is. 2009. Okay. And
I'm getting a head shake.
It was 2007? 2000, sorry. 2000, it was not 10 years. That would be
10 seasons.
No, there's no seasons in soaps. and the sort of pull, I guess, the gimmick was the supernatural element.
Yes, there was an angel girl.
Oh, wasn't there? Jeez.
There was
geez,
witches.
Louise. Witches.
I didn't see any witches yet.
No, the witches and the doll have not made an appearance
yet.
Yeah,
don't spoil
no,
it for
they,
me.
No, he didn't.
Oh, sorry.
He was smart. He didn't want to give that away too soon.
Yeah, he didn't.
Smart that way.
He didn't want to shit the bed. Or not shit the bed. What is it called when you...
jump the shark?
No, when you give all your shit away up front.
So...
suicide?
Suicide, yeah. He didn't
suicidal
want tendencies?
When you give away all of your stuff up front. What would that be?
We'll figure it out.
I don't know. There's not a word for it.
No.
It's like the equivalent of letting the
shooting
cow...
your load.
There's probably a German
premature
no,
ejaculation.
Premature ejaculation.
Oh,
that's
man.
What they're talking about. Shooting
yeah.
your load. Shooting your wad.
Ejaculation.
You don't want to shoot your wad up top.
Up. But you want to keep it low.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Travis was in this first episode.
I was,
Which we should probably address how that came about for you, Mr. Schult.
Yeah, how I made it to Harmony.
How'd you get to Harmony?
Yes, the
Ethan Crane origin story.
Oh man, I would love to talk about it,
but I'm not going to.
Well, I guess what I should start with is maybe the audition casting.
Yeah, tell us about
that's probably a good start. So I was living in Fort Worth, Texas, and I had managed to land an agent using one of my professors had hooked me up with the agency, and I went in on audition.
Which happens to everyone. You just land agents.
Yeah.
I auditioned.
It's that easy.
Yeah. I auditioned. And they liked me. So Passions did this like across the country casting thing. They went from California all the way to like Florida to Miami, where they got a lot of
People in Florida.
So they came through Dallas, and that's where my agent was. And they told me I had an audition. And I said, great, what's it for? And they said, a soap opera. And I said, no, thanks. I don't really want to do that. And then I thought,
okay,
you know what?
Olivier.
I know. No, I was. I was I'm not going to do theater. I mean, soap operas. Right. I'm going to do theater. So I decided to do it, and I blew it. It was a terrible audition because I didn't know how to handle that material because it's very, you're saying characters' names over and over again, and it's there's no flow to it. And it was very difficult. It's very difficult dialogue to do.
We used to liken it to reading something that was translated from a foreign language. It reads that. It's so there's like no flow.
Someone just learned how to speak English and started writing a script.
Right.
And you say their name every time. It's like, it's weird. So I failed, but the executive that was there, she was doing the casting, and I don't remember her name. And I wish I did, but she saw something in me, and she said, look, I'm just going to stop here. I'm going to turn on the camera, and let's just talk. So she started asking me about where I was from and, you know, how I got there and just my story. And I kind of loosened up.
It's very
and
La La Land, isn't it?
When
she goes in and just, they're like, just tell us, give us a monologue.
Yeah, it's very La La Land. Yeah. That's right. Yeah, that's a great moment. And I just was like, okay, thank you. And she's like, that was great. It's good meeting you. And then I thought, no, I'm never going to hear anything. And then I got a call, and they said they wanted to test me. So I was set to fly out to L.A. and test. And that's all I knew. And they gave me a scene. And this time I was determined not to fuck it up. So I went to my acting teacher from college and worked with her extensively and got it down really well. And then I flew to L.A.
They flew you.
Yeah, they flew me.
This will come up again later.
Yes. People. Yeah. Yeah. Back in the day when you used to get that kind of stuff. I think you still do.
But that, I think when you're that green, it's just, it's so,
it's huge.
Incredible.
Like there was a stretch limo that pulled up to my house.
Yeah. I mean, just like, you're like, I've made it.
Yeah.
It's happening.
And you get off the airplane and there's someone with a sign.
Mm. With your name on it. You were, 24, 25?
26? 24.
Yeah.
23, 24, I think.
Baby.
Yeah. I was young. And I fly into L.A. They took me to the Sheraton. Is that what it is?
The Universal Sheraton. Yeah.
Stayed in a room. Like got
Aunt
dinner.
Sheridan. Like Aunt Sheridan.
Yeah.
It should have been the first clue, Travis.
Yeah. It's spelled differently.
It is spelled differently, but you can't deny.
Sounds the same.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Well, let me, you know, I went out to just prove that I could do this. You know what I mean? I was stoked. It was like an opportunity.
Did you want to get the job?
I don't remember. I want to say no, because I was a snobby theater actor. But, you know, it's one of those things, like, at first you don't want it. Then someone says, we'd like to see you again. And you're like, well, I still don't want it, but I'm going to work hard. And then by the time you get there, you want it.
When you've jumped
like,
through all
those hoops. It's so weird. So yeah, I'm gonna say I wanted it, and I went in. We went to NBC Studios, and we ended up shooting the scene on the extras set.
Extra, not extra. Not the Ricky Gervais.
Right, right.
That's what it was.
The extra
entertainment show.
Yes.
Extra, yeah. The entertainment show when it was they back actually had a desk. I think now they just like I don't know.
They do it from home.
Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm. During this awful time. So they set up like a sofa and a thing, and they hired an actress to work with me who was fantastic. It was
Frances McDormand.
It was Frances McDormand.
She is quite good.
She's really good, guys.
Very generous, I hear. Generous scene partner.
It was funny. God, blew me away.
Well, yeah.
No, it wasn't Frances McDormand. Again, another person that I wish I remembered, but she was fantastic and I nailed it. Like, I did it a couple of times and the director was happy. And, you know, I went home and back to the hotel. And then I remember my friend, Brian Stanton, who, we were in undergrad together and he was at Cal Arts, which is a prestigious acting college. He was, doing graduate school there. And he said, how'd it go? And I said, it went awesome. If I don't get the job, it's their fault. And he laughed and he's like, that's really confident, bro. And I said, yeah, it is. That's how good I felt. And he said, wow, okay. So I flew home.
Yeah, arrogant.
Yeah, very cocky, arrogant 24-year-old white male yeah. trying to be an actor.
R.I.P.
Yeah. Yeah, that guy's gone.
Yeah.
Yeah, so and then I got the job. They called and I got the job.
That's very fairy tale, I think. It's sort of
no, it really is. When I used to talk to people starting out in Hollywood, I'd say, Travis, you know, what was it like? What did you do when you started out? And I'm like, I'm not the person to talk to.
Nope. Mm-hmm.
I got the golden ticket, man. What happened to me is not normal.
It's good that you knew that. I mean, did you know that, or were you told that enough times so that you knew to repeat it?
No, I knew.
Okay.
And also, I heard other actors' stories.
Yeah, so you had the perspective to...
And, you know, I did my work in Dallas. That's the thing. I was an extra. I auditioned for commercials. I did my first gig was a Mountain Dew commercial, you know. So yeah. I was doing the on-the-ground work, the struggling actor stuff, while living with my parents in Texas, which is... You know, for those of you still thinking about it, it's a good thing. It's a good place to do it because it's a right to work state. You don't have to be in the union to audition, and you can build up your resume and then go to LA, then go to New York.
Oh, please. I don't even know how it works anymore.
That's how it worked 22 years ago.
Yeah. I know you want to ask, Ben. My experience was very different.
Yeah, it seems like you might have had a different experience.
I had a slightly different experience.
Yeah. Yeah.
I too, at the end of a particularly grueling pilot season, which for those of you who don't know, pilot season is when all the actors go out to LA and audition their asses off for like, you know, 2 or 3 months straight and hope to land like, you know, the next Friends. I was living in New York and I came to LA for pilot season and just came up real empty. My roommate at the time, who's no longer acting, she screen tested, which is a thing that, so when you audition and you get a call back and then they do what's called a screen test or a network test. And that's also grueling. You have to go into a room full of a bunch of executives, who are disinterested in being there and, you know, act. My roommate had tested a million times and I got nothing. So at the end of it, my agent called and said, before you go home with your tail between your legs, there is this new soap opera. And I was all, no thanks, but broke.
Yeah.
Not because I wanted to do the theater. I just wanted to be
you.
Jennifer Aniston.
I know.
So I sort of didn't have a choice and I was desperate. So I too read and ended up testing and I guess I was on the extra stage as well. I don't remember the test as well as you do. Blocked it out. I didn't have Frances McDormand to read.
Obviously. Right. It was Frances. It was my first.
Well, yeah. No, it was my 80s. Oh, I had also tested for every single soap opera that had been on the air at that point already and gotten no jobs.
How old were you?
25.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Were you staying at the Oakwood?
girl, I stayed at the Sheraton too. I should have known.
Yeah. Should have known.
There you go.
There you go. It's
the Oakwood.
The Oakwood, which no longer exists.
No, yeah. It's called its something. Form. It's called like the Eva. Aga. Or Ava. Ava.
But it's legendary because like, it's very... it would be... Everyone from around the world, but mostly from this country, would come and stay for 3 or 4 months in this one place called the Oakwood.
Right, yeah. They did short-term rents in like...
It was mostly for child actors, too. It was a real creepy place. No, I ended up... I was living...
Oh, you and Julie lived
there. I lived... Julie and Danny Fisher and Julie Wilkinson. That's right. Yeah, we all lived together, and
maybe
Julie
you
killed
were
it.
The creepy ones.
Well, we were definitely creepy. Yeah, we were super creepy. Living in a back house in West Hollywood, like you do. So, attested... And did fine, I guess. And they said, we'll let you know in like X amount, by X date. And it was a very long time. It was, I want to say a month, which is grueling, but okay. So I went back to New York. Yes.
Were you waiting for that call?
Fuck, yes, I was. Really? I was out of money.
Okay.
I had depleted everything. I had to go back to bartending in New York. Which gave me a panic attack. So, I mean, fuck soaps, but I'll take it. You know, that was kind of my attitude.
Well, that's, yeah.
Yeah. After like that day came and went, and, you know, because that's what they do, they push it. So, a few days after that date, I got the call saying that I did not get the job, which was, you know, fine, I guess. And I attended bar, and I ended up shortly thereafter, somehow stumbling upon a fairly lucrative voiceover career. And I did a play and I did a couple of guest stars on a show. So about a year later, I get another call.
And saying, the show's already on.
So yes, the show has
been cast.
Gwen had been cast.
Yeah.
And about a year later, which was the show had been on for about a year. I get another call saying they want to audition you for this role of Amanda. I remember it was Amanda.
Mm-hmm.
And
Amanda Crane.
Amanda Crane, I believe, which made it creepy given knowing
cousin.
What we know. Yeah.
Cousin,
a Crane cousin. So.
Was that just for the sides? Like, is that.
Well, wait for it. Sorry. God, Ben, you're too smart. Smarter than me.
No, he has a question to answer the question.
No, I know, but smart. I didn't ask that question and I should have.
Well, go ahead. And I know why I asked that question.
Oh, well, you know the answer. Okay, yeah. So, yeah, obviously. Everybody does. This is not that big of a spoiler. sorry. I thought that we were living in 1999.
The whole point of this podcast is to spoil everything.
Okay.
Well, to pull back the curtain, too.
Yeah, exactly.
Pull back that curtain.
How the sausage is made.
Yeah, everybody wants to know how the sausage is made. So, yeah, Amanda Crane. So we all know that was bullshit. So, but I didn't. I was told a Crane cousin. So,
well, you won't know. But that's been just to explain what happens sometimes if you're going to if you're writing a show and you want to kind of keep it secret, you'll issue sides for the actress to read and you'll change the name of the character so that someone doesn't take their sides to Extra,
right,
or Entertainment
right,
exactly, and say
Coffee Bean,
yeah, or Coffee Bean, and leave them, it there,
yes.
Yeah.
And leave it there, and people
so it's
are
a
like,
little trick,
yeah, especially in new shows,
yeah.
Now it's all non-disclosure agreements.
Right, but right. One would think that the actresses auditioning would be told the straight dope.
Yeah.
But they were not. We were not. Mm-mm. So.
Anyway, that's for why exactly that's why they had the name Amanda Crane as the cousin.
So. Right. So I was conflicted about whether or not I wanted to do this because I was doing – my career was okay. It certainly wasn't, you know, it wasn't winning any Oscars, but like Frances. But I was doing all right. Okay. So I was like, fuck it. Yeah, I'll do this. So here's what happens when there is a show that you're soap that you're testing for that's already on the air.
Right.
You go – and this had been my experience with all the shows prior. You go to the soundstage where the show is taping and they give you – this is bananas. They give you somebody's dressing room who's not working that day. So we had when Travis and I were on the show, we had people coming into our dressing rooms when we weren't there and like rummaging through our shit, through our nasty, dirty ashtrays. but you can also watch on – they have closed circuit television. So you can – everybody's got a TV in their room. You can watch what's being taped.
Oh, yeah.
So essentially you can watch the auditions that are happening as you're waiting to audition.
Well, yeah.
They turn them
off. For the
off.
Actor in the dressing room, you can see where they are. So you know if you're coming up or not.
Right. Yeah.
That's why they're there. That's why it happens. And anyone on that studio can watch it.
Yeah, anyone on the lot. Yeah, any, like or, Big yeah, Brother,
on the studio lot, can watch
Two and a Half
it.
Men. I watched Two and a Half Men tape scenes between Denise Richards and Charlie Sheen before they were a couple. And I remember thinking, I don't know why, I just stumbled upon it. I was like, I'm going to watch this. They didn't speak. They didn't look at each other. They were doing a bedroom scene where they were both in bed talking. And in between takes, they would just like look at their sides, not talk. They would not converse.
What show?
Two and a Half Men.
Oh.
So Denise Richards guest starred on it, and that's how they met. So I'm watching them, and I'm like, they fucking hate each other. And then a few weeks go by, and the story comes out that they're dating. Anywho, so I went to whoever's – I don't remember whose dressing room they gave me. And I think they may have blacked out the auditions for the sake of our, you know, just, you know, being kind. I don't remember. But I have watched other – I did watch other people audition.
Yeah, they don't do it with the main cameras. They did it on the side, yeah.
Yeah.
Because they built a set for you and everything for our scene.
Mm-mm. We were at Sheridan's Cottage. Oh, that was the second time.
Oh, that was the second time. We're only on the first time?
Yes, I'm sorry. I know. I'm sorry. So anyway.
You got so much time.
Anyway, any hoodle. It's a very different story from yours. So I go to the soundstage to shoot my scene, and it happens to be with this gentleman here. And he was so lovely. He doesn't remember this. He was so lovely and warm and very kind. And we did our scene, and our first kiss was during this crazy, weird screen test. And we hugged and said goodbye. And I went back to New York. And a couple of days later, I get a call that says I did not get the part. So,
which was a good thing, because they ended up not doing anything with that character.
What do you mean?
That it was a character. It was for a character.
No, it was for...
No. It wasn't a replacement.
No, it was. Travis, what's happening right now?
She wasn't replaced then. When you didn't get the job, it wasn't replaced.
Travis needs some ginkgo biloba.
It was to find a replacement.
Right.
But no one got the job.
Right. No one. Oh, yes. Sorry. That's what I'm saying. So no one got the job. Yeah. Okay.
So it was.
Maybe I need the ginkgo biloba.
Yeah. Wow. They did do another character. Like they added a cousin or something like that.
No, this is where you're wrong. So,
let's continue with Natalie's audition. Odyssey.
Sorry. I know it's Odyssey. It's an epic. It's almost done. So a few weeks later, they call again and they're like, they'd like to screen test you again. And I'm like, motherfuckers, just quit throwing away the tape. I'm not going to do anything different. So I came back with no intention of like actually doing well, because it truly was a trip to see friends and to hang out. So I show up and he's like, fucking you again. And this is the one you remember, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. My second impression is always so much better with everyone.
Well, yeah.
Okay. So I show up on set. This one is doing lifting hay bales naked from the waist up.
Took my shirt off. They had.
So it was like CrossFit?
It was pre-CrossFit. Is exactly what it was.
Man, Passions is really ahead of its time.
That's what this whole podcast is going to be about. We're going to discover so many things like this.
Yes,
CrossFit.
Cool.
CrossFit. And you were doing what I thought was Shakespeare. You were reciting Shakespeare from what I remember, but I guess it was Tom Stoppard.
It was just Tom Stoppard.
Okay, it was just Tom Stoppard.
Another fantastic.
Not any less pretentious, but go ahead.
No. Actually more, I would say.
Yeah, yeah. A little bit more.
So I walk in, and this one's doing something, this wreath of fire and rose and whatever the fuck else. Oh, for a muse of fire. That's what I was trying to think. Oh, for a muse of fire. I know that's not Tom Stoppard.
Nope.
And it was just so nice. It was so nice to see a friendly face. And
it was. I was excited to see you.
He was just so fucking handsome. And we did the scene. Sorry, Ben. I'm sorry.
No, I was going to ask a personal question, but go ahead and finish the story. Then I'll ask a personal question.
And we did the scene, and he was like, I was like, see you never. And you were like, yep. And then I finally, yes, gang, listeners, I finally got the job.
Yes.
Third time's
yes.
a charm, I guess. Yeah, yeah. I cried. I cried when I got that phone call. Not tears of joy.
Not tears of joy.
No, I was a little conflicted.
Well, because then you had to move to LA.
I had to move and leave all my friends.
All your friends.
Too cold in New York. My boyfriend. I know you don't like the cold.
Yeah.
I love the cold.
I only had to leave my parents' house.
Yeah, you were fine.
It's easy.
Yeah.
And my job at Papa Do's. I was good to go.
I'm sure they were sorry to see you go.
They were not. I was not a good waiter.
Okay.
Actually, that's not true. I finally got good.
All right. The personal question I have.
Yes, please.
What was your thought when you first saw Natalie? Did you have...
Obviously, he doesn't remember.
The first time I saw her?
Well, the first time that you remember.
Yeah, okay. So here's the difference about when that happened is...
Are you close enough to the mic is what I want to know. You keep getting further and further away.
No, this is where I am.
I'm back away from the truth,
right,
Travis.
On top of it.
That's what Valentine does. He fixes that.
Okay.
I think I was just too much in my own shit then because the job was so hard for me. That then that day I probably had to work knowing what was going on. And then they were like, oh yeah. And now you have to audition actors.
Right.
Yeah.
And it was like, I can't talk this much. I can't do this much dialogue. And just the switching gears, they assumed everyone could do it. And I think I was probably pretty stressed out about it.
Interesting.
And
didn't
want to do it. That's kind of my thought about it. And
also,
then the second time it was just different. That was my day.
Yeah.
And I came in and I had time because that's a big thing that nobody thinks about is.
Well, you're so empathetic as well, just as a person. And I'm sure that on some level, there's a stress of like, I want to make sure that I Frances McDormand this thing and make it so that these actresses can shine.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And all that's, I'm pretty sure that's what it was. It was just me going, Jesus, I'm not helping anyone right now. And that made me feel terrible.
Hmm. The time you saw Travis, were you like, that's interesting?
He's so fucking cute. So fucking cute. As a matter of fact, when I came home, I don't remember if it was the first or second or third, excuse me. I don't remember which one it was, but I went back to it was the second one because I went back to the Sheraton, the Universal Sheraton. Mm-hmm. And my friend Julie Nathanson, who keeps coming up in this, she'll be very pleased. She was a big part. Yeah. She called me and she was one of the first to call and say, you know, how did it go? And I said, that guy is so good looking. And that's not really a thing. Like, I'm not really all that boy crazy. And I was, you know, in a relationship. But that's the thing that stood out to me about that experience was how pretty you are.
Not my acting.
Yeah. No. Well, just I wasn't fucking paying attention to your acting, sweetie.
You're just distracting. I was auditioning. Travis.
Right.
I know we've spent a lot of time on my audition, but the whole, like, punchline to this thing is that there was no fucking Amanda Crane. It was to replace one of the lead characters on the goddamn show. And they did not tell me this until I had already signed my life away.
So I didn't tell you that? I didn't say, by the way?
No.
Okay. Because that's something I totally would have done.
It is something you would have done. Maybe.
I didn't like you.
Did you know? Obviously, of course you knew.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Did they tell you not to tell the actress?
I don't know. I mean, you know, everything was secret back then, so I probably followed their rules, but
yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, so that was one of the conflicts when I got the word. You know, it wasn't just that I was doing a soap, which I hadn't really counted on doing, and it wasn't that I was leaving New York, but it was that I was playing this character that I had watched the show a few times, and I wasn't a huge fan of this character. Mm-hmm. And so now I'm like... I was duped. You sign on the dotted line and for 7 years, even though I somehow, this is another thing, I know this may be sort of boring, but an average soap opera contract was at the time 7 years long, which is like a fucking eternity.
Yeah.
But I was somehow able to get two. I got a 2-year contract.
Yeah, that's the same
because
thing.
They didn't like me very much.
Well, no, it's because your agents were good because I only got three. They wanted 7.
Oh, so your agents.
Yeah.
Crazy.
And they were
tell me about your money.
this will show you the caliber of the agency I was with.
This is the Dallas-based.
The Dallas-based agency. So
could have been like me.
No, yeah. Was it?
No.
Were you his agent?
I'll be an agent. You're an actor.
Ben, I wish you would have been my agent because you would have handled it so much better. And this agency is big. Like, they're big. They're still around. And
what's the name? Or can we not say?
Yeah, it's Kim Dawson. Oh. Kim Dawson Agency. Okay. Yeah. And huge modeling agency. And they have a talent. And a lot of talent went to LA and got very successful. Taylor Ann Mounts was from an Impassion. She was from the same agency. She's one of the people that they picked up.
She plays K, original K. This is something we'll also get into. There were a lot of recasts.
Kay's one of the teenagers.
Yes.
Yes.
The tall.
Yeah, yeah. The tall.
Long hair. Yeah, not Mary Louise, Mary famous person.
Mary Elizabeth Winstead?
Yes, Winstead, not her. Yeah. Did you know that that was her?
He told me, wait, okay. she's in the first episode? Oh.
Yeah.
Who is she?
Jessica. She plays the younger sister of the two fighting sisters.
Man.
See, she left an impression on you because the first thing you said was there were two sisters who were fighting, which is like the least interesting part of the whole
thing. Only because they keep going back never resolves.
I disagree.
So this is basically table setting.
For what?
For what?
For what?
It's kind of like the introduction of the show, right?
Right. What? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. What we're doing right now? Or
yeah. Because we're kind of talking about how.
We're talking about the show. But wait, what was that story I was going to finish? What was I saying?
You're talking about the Dallas.
How much money you were making. Okay.
The agent story. We got off.
It's okay. That's what we're supposed to do.
Yeah. So my agents call me up. They're like, we got great news. You got the job. And I said, fantastic. That's awesome. And I just said, what was the offer? And they're like, $750 an episode.
Basically,
and
I go, the absolute minimum that anyone would ever make.
That was the AFTRA minimum. And this is a series regular, and they were like, basically every episode, Ethan's going to be in every episode. They're like, $750 an episode. And I go, okay, cool. What'd you guys count it with? And they go, counter. We took the job. We took it. And I was like, are you fucking kidding me? I was like, I'm not an agent, and I even know that you never take the first.
It seems like the character, even though the town's called Harmony, it could be known as like Crane Town because it seems like he's that central.
Oh, yeah. No, it's definitely it. Well, as you watch the show,
you'll see.
You'll discover.
Also, gang, just to give you a little perspective about what $750 an episode means, after taxes and commission, it's like basically $400. And
I was the lowest paid series regular on that show. I would talk to the other actors and they'd be like, what were you making? And I'm like, $750. And they go, who's your agent?
Yeah. So to give you some perspective, I was bartending at the time and I would make more than that a shift.
Yeah.
So there you have it, folks. Ethan Crane, they really got a good deal.
To give you perspective on my life, I was waiting tables and living with my parents, and that was $500 more than I would make in a week.
Yeah. So, but you were working every day.
But I knew that wasn't how it worked.
No. Bless your sweetheart.
They were bad.
Yeah. So that's sort of, I guess, the origin story of how
that's how we got there.
We got there.
That's how we got there. And then so Natalie, like we were saying, you didn't start working till
I started working, quote, unquote. There's no seasons in soap operas.
That's why I'm using quotes.
Kind of like no crying in baseball.
Second year.
Second year. At the beginning of the second year of the show, I started working. And so
and that's what we're going to talk
about. We're going to cover the first episode.
And then we're going to talk about
once I start on the show.
Right. When we work together.
Yeah, it'll be fun. We'll also be introducing a segment called The Raycap, which is our four-year-old daughter will be I'm not really sure how this is going to go, but she and Ben will do a little recap of the episode at hand.
Excited.
Yeah, and you know, we'll have lots of juicy behind the scenes tidbits and all that if we can remember. We really need to take our ginkgo though, cuz you know,
we just scratched the surface.
Delving back into the annals,
I got my
handy dandy White Claw.
Stuff right
here. Can we say White Claw? Can we get some? Yeah.
Yeah, I don't see why not. I'm enjoying it. I'm about to open up a Pacifico. White Claw while I do my podcasting.
Alrighty.
All right, gang. That is our show for today. Please join us for the next one. Bye.
Bye.
Like and subscribe.
What?
That's fine.
What did you say?
Like and subscribe.
Like and subscribe.
I thought you said like and subscribe.
They specifically said, don't plan anything. We can do it on the weekend. We can do it any other day. But no. Nope.
I had nothing to do with this. It was Reagan. Reagan planned the party.
No, it was...
Just
it
for
was,
context, this is, at this point, a two-year-old girl.
Yeah, two-year-old girl, yeah. And it was Ethan's idea. You're familiar with that.
You know
I do.
we won't get into that. So, I mean, we could. We fucking could. Anyway, yeah. So I cried because it was Travis's birthday, and I had to break it to Reagan, the two-year-old, that we were not going to be home for the party. And I even said to Jason, I was like, hey, man, is there any way we could wrap this up? And he was like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah.
No, we have like seven scenes left to shoot. So we missed Travis's, and Travis didn't give a shit.
No, I was pissed because I didn't want Reagan to get her hopes up and have this happen to her. But you know what? She's fine. She got over it.
I bet she doesn't even remember it.
I bet she
You're
does.
Absolutely right. She I doesn't she remember does. It. Actually, she probably does only because they made that apron for me.
Right.
That says, nice dad.
So that was nice dad, right. Even though you didn't come to my birthday party that I threw you.